This is It Was a Thing on TV.
Spoiler number one is Dr. Lee Franz.
It stinks.
What is going on? What is going on?
Hello, this is a very special live episode of It Was a Thing on TV. Chico's here, Greg's here, and I'm here. And what we're doing is tonight, we're watching an installment of Dark Side of the Ring about Herb Abrams, a personality that Greg has told us quite a bit about over the last few months, and he's been eagerly awaiting this day.
Oh, yes.
Yes. To say the least, Herb Abrams is one heck of a story, and we're going to watch the show live and give you feedback as it airs. And this is going to be our first live show, and hopefully not our last. We'll see how this goes. This is going to be unedited. Everything you hear is in real time. There may be the occasional bad language, but
there also might be the occasional rumble of thunder because there's some weather up in the Fayetteville area.
Ooh. Okay. Well, you've been warned. So if you hear thunder or if you hear vulgarities, it's to be expected. This is not being edited. This is raw footage, as they say.
Yes.
And we're going to start airing, or we're going to start playing the episode right now. Oh, look at those UWF graphics.
Oh, yeah. Done on an Amiga, probably. Oh, Bart Simpson t-shirt.
1989.
Oh, Bruno Sammartino. Oh, Captain Lou. Mick Foley.
Yeah, I saw Mr. Wonderful there.
Yep. He is a furball.
Yeah.
Got a 900 number.
Yep. Oh, there it is. Bloody Herb.
The show was a joke. The money wasn't legit. Herb had squandered billions of dollars. Oh, hail broke loose. Herb was like a ball of fire.
Mystery electricity.
SWAT teams are going to be knocking down the door here in a minute.
There's your line of coke.
Yep. Oh, Pixel.
Oh, jeez.
Okay,
that's the first time I've ever seen pixelation in a documentary.
You haven't seen A Thousand Ways to Die, have you?
Oh, I've seen that. I take that back.
Young Vince McMahon and, well, yeah.
Yesterday, and I cannot talk about her without smiling. I am Mick Foley. I am sometimes known as the hardcore legend.
Yikes.
Dang!
Guy with a big personality. His enthusiasm was contagious. I believe I was at one of John Arezzi's Weekend of Champions. John's one of the first guys who's putting together wrestling weekends.
My name is John Arezzi, and I've been in and out of the pro wrestling business really since the early 1970s. There was a gentleman who was looking to start a wrestling promotion, and he was a little eccentric. He had really
a little eccentric?
Just a teensy weensy?
Well, John, you don't know the half of it.
That's a mouthful. I mean, to me, that was legitimacy. For most of the 20th century, Bruno Sammartino was the face of professional wrestling. One of its first true icons. These are facts.
Yes.
Indeed.
With her. So, I I certainly gave them the time of day and welcomed them to my wrestling fan convention.
The Wrestling Fans Fantasy Weekend event is one of the first fan conventions of its kind, and a convenient arena for Hurt to approach talent looking for new opportunities.
There was a lot of the guys from the Northeast, the Cactus Jacks, Sunny Beaches, and Herb made a point to introduce himself to almost everybody there.
I know he was trying to, you know, look for talent at the convention. He was there, I guess, recruiting. My name's Rick Allen, formerly known as Sunny Beach in the wrestling world. He was, you know, looking to do big things. And he goes, Sunny, my boy, we're going to make it big one day, you know. Just be there for the ride. I didn't inspire him to become a professional wrestler, to be honest with you. He saw something in me.
Oh, look at that dog.
Oh, cute dog. Steve the Wild Thing, Stevie Ray.
Yeah, not that Stevie Ray from Harlem Heat.
No, this is another Stevie Ray. Let's just say there's a key difference that we won't get into.
Yes. Oh, it's that jabroni B. Brian Blair. Where's the Iron Sheik when we need him?
He's busy railing against Star Wars on Twitter.
In a row, and it was perfect for me.
67 days in a row.
Damn. Yeah, WWE schedule back in the day was nuts.
UWF at the convention with a press conference laying out his grand plans for global domination.
It was really designed to kind of introduce his vision and announce some of the performers that were going to be associated with him. But it turned into more of a circus. And there was an angle between Dan Spivey and B. Brian Blair. There were tables.
Oh, the old Sports Channel logo.
Oh, yeah.
There's his throwback. Jack
Mulligan, who at the time was in
car. By the way, angle for those uninitiated, storyline.
Yep. Oh yeah, this is what I told you about. He talked about how he had Bruiser Brody as one of his top stars when he had been dead for 2 years.
Yep.
I thought, this is the man who's going to mix Hollywood.
Oh man, look at that picture of Mick in that UWF hat.
Wow.
Exploding out of the convention, Herb's pure force of personality has bought him a roster of eager wrestlers, each with the high expectations of a man who is a complete mystery. I didn't know a whole lot about who Herb Abrams was. I knew that he was a businessman of some kind. He was working with the stock market. He told me he was in the clothing industry. I have no idea what Herb Abrams did.
What the hell is that?
I have a theory. Herb Abrams is Tommy Wiseau.
Yeah?
Yeah, what Greg is referring to, I'm guessing, was the wrestling shorts, the wrestling sort of brief or whatever you want to call it, that has satisfaction guaranteed across the top of the butt.
Yep.
You have that deep desire to want to be on the inside. Herb Abrams was my best friend. We were kindred spirits. Herb was in a pair of jeans, cowboy boots, and he was going from the minute I met him.
Yeah. So quickly
because he didn't have
that's your title.
He didn't have someone that could do what I did. He believed so much in what he was doing and in what he was selling.
Herb Abrams' greatest dream comes to life on October 1st, 1990, when the UWF Fury Hour debuts on cable television.
There's excitement in the air around this capacity crowd. This is the premiere of the UWF.
We were in Reseda, California. That was, it was a nice...
Isn't that how GLOW got started?
Yeah, pretty much.
On cable in Reseda?
Yeah. Herb Abrams seems like the type of guy who's like the Mark Maron character from Netflix GLOW.
Recently parted WWF, and so they were fresh and hot on the television. So Herb Abrams had what I thought was arguably more star power than WWE had at that time. Guys,
oh,
like,
Chief J. Strongbow, what are you doing here?
Then he had Steve Dr. Death Williams.
And there's Steve
Dr. Death Williams. 8 years away from getting knocked out by Bart Gunn in the Brawl for All.
Bob Orton. Isn't his kid play football for a while? I don't know.
A lot of wrestlers' kids played football for a while. Maybe you're thinking of Laurinaitis, because his son James played with the Rams for
some
obviously, time.
Yeah, obviously Bob Orton's kid's Randy Orton, so.
Okay, never mind. I was thinking of Kyle Orton.
Oh, jeez!
Oh, you're not the only one who made that joke.
And that's why we're doing this live and not editing a thing for comments like that.
Yeah. Look at that reenactment. That yellow suit.
Met with Vince McMahon and said to him, "You want the East Coast, the Central, and it's all yours. What about if I promote the West Coast for you?"
He really wanted in on that action.
Yeah.
Herb's attitude towards the WWF evolves into a desire for utter domination. In order to,
I'm pretty sure this is how Donald Trump got started in professional football.
Yep. Oh, this Boris Zukov. That is some white mullet this guy's got.
Yikes.
Jimmy the Boogie Woogie Man by him. In the dressing room, we kept hearing about this Mark out in California who had tons of money and was putting together a TV show.
Oh, look at that belt.
Holy moly.
He set me up in this two-bedroom estate hotel, Beverly Hills. And it was all there in a bag of chips. And we wouldn't work it for
you. You haven't heard that phrase in about 15 years.
You know, I'm like, wow. That night, he knocks on the door. And he has two high-end.
Oh!
High-end call girls.
Yeah.
We're not talking about South Carolina Snaggletooth call girls.
Hollywood honeys.
Oh my gosh. South Carolina Snaggletooth call girls.
And he broke out a little mirror.
Ah, there we go.
Yep.
There's the nose candy.
Hookers and blow, ladies and gentlemen.
Herb's got his boots on.
Oh, wow.
And probably just his boots.
So, okay.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, so early thoughts. Herb Abrams is kind of a mix, as you mentioned, Chico, Tommy Wiseau, but Tommy Wiseau mixed with Joe Exotic.
Yes.
Okay, that's fair, yes.
That is a fair comparison.
And he... That is something about how he wanted in to promote with Vince.
And he sure as hell likes his hookers and blow.
Oh, man.
I mean, we're what? 10 minutes into the show and we've already got the nose candy. Well, about 12 minutes into the show and the nose candy is already out.
Yes. And it's also kind of cool to see John Arizzi on camera, because John Arizzi, for you two that don't know, he was a wrestling radio host here in the Long Island area back in the late 80s to mid 90s. So that's kind of impressive that they got him on camera for this interview, for this show.
Indeed.
Yeah. But, I was just so happy to see that Sports Channel belt that Herb was showing right there.
The one with the neon letters on it? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. The neon UWF logo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That belt's got to be around somewhere. That's something we have to put in our museum.
You see, and my takeaway was the Sports Channel banner in the back with the old red and blue logo from, again, about 89, 90 before they got absorbed by Fox Sports.
Yeah. Good times.
Very good times. Oh, yes.
Yeah. UWF was part of a block on Sports Channel America called Feet, Fists, and Fury, which they were paired with like kickboxing and boxing, hence why the show was called the UWF Fury Hour. So that explains why it was called the Fury Hour.
Mm-hmm.
But man, I really hope they get to the I really hope they talk about the Blackjack Brawl show from 1984. I hope someone can explain why Mondo Guerrero came out to Taco Grande.
And if they don't, I'm sure you have all the deets about that, Greg.
Oh my god, yes. By the way, folks, on our regular show on It Was a Thing on TV, by the way, this is airing on the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed. So if you listen to us on the Pop feed later this year, we will have a regular episode about the Herb Abrams UWF later this year.
Yeah, this is just a little bonus thing on TV.
Yes.
Yeah, this feels a need that not just Greg, all three of us. It was an itch that all three of us needed scratched.
Yes.
Yeah. With all
due respect to Matt Cardona. Oh, I got this neat ad for Cambridge Pavers here. Oh, wait.
Okay. Oh, there it is. There's the belt. Oh, is that cool?
UWF on both sides.
So he would hold it up, Herb would hold it up. He knew that he was telling Vince McMahon to help himself. Herb's vision for the UWF was to put the WWF out of business. I mean, he was that cocky.
Herb was doing everything in his power to intentionally needle McMahon and to piss him off. He wanted to squash Vince. He wouldn't even be.
He wanted Vince McMahon smeared on the bottom of his cowboy boots.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, Rob great. Bartlett on Monday Night Raw.
To launch his first attack.
That's going to be a future topic, guys.
Attractions.
Well, hold on.
So excited. He goes, Lenny, get here as fast as you can. I'm not going to tell you who's sitting here, but this is the best thing.
Now, when I came out here before, I said I had a surprise. Something special. Something that only Universal Wrestling Federation can handle. That punk wonder of the world. Here he is, Andre the Giant.
Yes, this is true. Andre the Giant has signed a long-term...
Wow.
Well, he's not in his prime anymore, as everybody knows, but
he will be wrestling.
I have to wonder how long did the Giant have before he passed on?
Andre passed away January 93.
So he had like 3 years.
Not even, yeah. Actually just over 2 years. Because I think they said this was November 1st of 90.
After Andre made an appearance for UWF, Mr. Man got on the phone and called him and told him right back in. The embarrassment of losing Andre.
Look at Herb.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Herb responds by throwing every gimmick in the book.
Oh boy.
Entertained Herb,
he thought it was entertaining the world.
The lightning is back. I told you I'd never forget this.
Does he even know what an Indian strap match is?
No. Oh my God, Herb's hair, he looks like Doc Brown.
And really, at the same time, it looks like he's had a little touch of the
It's interesting what happens to a promotion when the boss becomes the, you know, the star of the show.
Of course, just ask Vince McMahon.
Well, give Herb credit. He was the first to do that, like, long before Vince McMahon and Eric Bischoff and WCW became authority figures.
Yeah.
So he was ahead of his time there. Well, Mr. Wonderful's pissed.
TV, I was open to anything to get the exposure that I was after. He saw a way to get heat and actually be on camera and have a feud between the colonel and the owner of the organization.
Look at him kicking!
Oh my.
Oh, this is the famous angle where Colonel Red busts open Herb.
Oh boy.
Herb attempts to get one over McMahon by emulating one of WWF's most lucrative ventures.
Merchandising.
Where the real money from the company is made.
UWF's power line.
There's the oatmeal cookies.
We've got the Stevie Ray all natural oatmeal cookies.
The oatmeal pina colada cookies.
With Dr. Def Steve Williams' face on it. Mmm.
Coming soon to Binging with Babish.
Wait, Herbie cookies. Oh, I don't want to know what's in the Herbie cookies.
Oh.
Power play, his television contract starts slipping away.
Ow.
Oh, this is their only pay-per-view right here, Beach Brawl, which aired in July of 91.
When I heard that Herb was putting on a pay-per-view, it seemed like the breakthrough moment.
It was proven by the WWF, it was proven by WCW. That's where they made the majority of their income was with the pay-per-view events, and to Herb to step into that arena, then he was expecting to roll the dice, get lucky, and then finance the whole operation.
High expectations for the UWF's inaugural pay-per-view weigh heavily on Herb. Instead of holding the Beach Brawl in a largely populated area, Herb lands on Palmetto, Florida, over an hour away from the closest major city.
I bet O'Manity Civic Center was a nice venue. I mean, WWF does TV tapings out of there. I think that's one of the reasons why Herb picked that place. Herb said that he had every newspaper, he had every radio station. Everyone was going to give it a push to help him.
Chris, we're real excited about the Beach Brawl, and I would highly suggest that people call to secure Beach Brawl right in their living room, because it will be just that, a brawl at the beach. Hopefully many of the fans watching the show.
I go. And I look at this building, and I know that there's no way in hell we can sell this building out. Building was immense. Building was bigger than any building I had ever seen in my entire life. And I knew...
Look at him!
He has no idea.
Like, how am I going to sell this building out?
He has no idea. It's not exactly the Cumberland County Arena now. I mean, no. This isn't small time anymore. This is
the major leagues.
Well, he did two things wrong. One, the building is way too big for the event. But also, two, location, location, location. They said the closest big city was over an hour away.
Yes.
Yeah, that's horrible. That's bad planning.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, there's a commercial of Dave Bautista with Dave Bautista playing while we're talking. For Smirnoff Seltzer, Red, White, and Berry.
He's not drinking it, and yet he is drinking it.
Oh, man. God
He's
bless
drinking you. It. He's drinking it with his mind.
God bless you, Dave.
Or maybe we can apply the past tense there. He drank it.
There you go. Can't wait to see you in Guardians Volume 3, by the way.
Yeah, whenever that comes out. Right now, James Gunn has to direct a man who's apparently invisible in the Suicide Squad. No artificial sweeteners or flavors.
Introducing Bolt 24. Stay hydrated.
Yeah.
No one likes a salty you-know-what.
No. Creamier protein. Too good to be 1 gram of sugar.
Limu, Emu!
And Doug.
We're having way too much fun with these commercials here, but I don't mind.
Yeah. I mean, there's no commercial for McDonald's grilled steak sandwich, but...
I could go for one of those McDonald's grilled steak sandwiches right now.
Just hold your horses. That's episode 3 of It Was a Thing at the Drive-Thru.
And now, a commercial for beds.
Casper mattresses.
Which is where all three of us should be now.
Oh, yeah.
I want to try one of those Casper mattresses.
Free, no contact delivery. I mean, they're the rage on every podcast.
Yeah.
We need a Casper mattress advertisement on our podcast.
This is not a Casper mattress advertisement.
Okay, so let's see. We talked about getting advertising for from Casper mattresses. Keeps hair growth formula.
Yeah.
And Roman boner pills. Okay.
And everything Conrad Thompson plugs on his podcast.
You are looking live at the Thames River in London, England.
Oh, bullcrap. That's live. It's only 5 hours later over in England. So that would be like 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
In that case, I will shut up.
Oh, Sugar Ray Leonard's going to be interviewed on Sea of the Table tomorrow.
Nice. Okay.
All right, here we go.
So we're back to Hookers and Blow now. And overexposed or underexposed pay-per-views. Oh, sorry.
And oh, look at that Steve Ray's dog again.
Obviously, it was cocaine.
Oh.
And we're back on cocaine. And we're back on cocaine.
It's snowing!
That's
I wonder why it's snowing. Party. It was like one big party for some of the guys. Because it's nose candy.
Yeah.
He's the candy man.
I thought that was Brad Armstrong. I said to him, you've got to stream yourself out. You've got this goddamn pay-per-view to do. You're going to kill yourself while you're doing this. You know, man, it's the stress I'm under. And I said to him, Herb, when we're finished with this, we got to get you into the rehab. If you don't go to rehab, I can't do this with you.
Herb's distractions from the beach brawl comes to a head as he arrives to find thousands of empty seats at the arena.
Whoops. It was too big.
Yep. The lights went out on Bruno. That was a pay-per-view. When I saw how few people were in the audience, I said to her, how can this be? And he said, somebody screwed up. Try to keep up beat. He was in there doing the ring announcement at his stake, but I think that really hurt him.
Right, I'm going to go with the doc. So Herb Abrams going with Steve, Dr. Death Williams. He was running in and out of the bathroom a lot that night.
Oh,
so
obviously, oh boy. He was high while he was broadcasting. You don't do that.
That equates to maybe 100. It's either 100 or 1,000 people.
It was a financial loss, a tremendous financial loss. Nobody was happy.
All the guys were talking, you know, between themselves, and they thought it might be the end of, you know, the promotion.
I was a glass half full guy. I would see those empty seats, and I would think that it was a way to do cool stuff. It's really clear that most of best intentions were not going to come to fruition.
With the event of financial disaster and checks for the talent starting to bounce, the UWF wrestlers confront Herb face to face.
Oh God, he's going to get his ass kicked.
And the door opens and there's these two different girls. So, not like I haven't seen anything before, but this is a little unusual. And then I look and I see Herb.
Oh no!
Oh boy.
Two big piles of cocaine.
He's wearing nothing but his cowboy boots.
Oh.
Oh, well, there's all the money. They're going to the hookers.
This is a train wreck. And all they're trying to do now is just figure out if there's any survivors.
Herb Abrams' connections in the wrestling world start to dry up. Many of the wrestlers stiffed on pay are refusing to work while Herb's vices are taking hold. So I kept in contact with Herb even when I did not work for Herb. You could see the wear and tear on his face. I mean, between the drugs and the failing promotion, it was really taking a toll on Herb.
I don't think he was keeping up with money. I don't think it mattered to him. As long as the party continues. In Spartanburg, South Carolina, he pulled a fast one. So, the day of the show arrives.
Okay.
The crew gets there about 12 o'clock. Herb's there. And they said, we need to get a check from him. For tonight's show.
Oh boy.
Oh no, this is not going to end well.
It never does.
So we get up to about 4:30. TV crew came back and said, Mr. Abrams, if you don't give us some money, we're packing up leaving. Herb says, okay, let's go into the office. Mr. Abrams has multi-millions of dollars.
What?
Oh, my.
Herb Abrams is rolling in dough.
And cocaine.
And snow. He's got snow, and he's got dough. He's got two bank accounts. One was filthy rich. And so he has two bank accounts.
Don't accept a check if you don't want to accept a check. And accepted a check. All hail broke loose. Some of the guys
that threatened
to throw Herb off the fifth floor.
Oh, shit.
And that's when reality hit me upside down.
He got Suge Knight, y'all.
Oh, he did indeed.
Yowza.
Holy crap.
Thoughts now?
Yes. I thought only hidden second bank accounts were things of marriages.
Oh, no. Who makes boatloads of money and doesn't have a second bank account? That just makes sense.
Well, I'm talking about a secret bank account and one that has zero money in it at that. I mean, even just to cover expenses like the crew, you know, stick $10,000 in there or $5,000 or whatever you feel justified. Enough that you're not going to get your ass thrown over the fifth floor of a balcony.
Yeah. I mean, geez, don't stiff them on the payment.
Yep.
Yeah, but you can't blame him. I mean, some of us have been there being stiffed by companies in the past. And
Oh, God.
And trust me, I don't know if the amount of money I'm talking about is anywhere near the amount of money a camera crew would be making. But yeah, if they even screwed me out of a couple hundred dollars, I'd be a little upset.
Yeah.
Well, a little upset.
Not even $100. Just the, not even like any set amount of money, but the potential for a set amount of money. And there is a story that it's like all my friends know about the Chase story. So.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Well, I was just saying, you know, okay, it starts off at a couple hundred dollars. I'd be a little, I'd be upset. But the thing is, if you screwed me out of, say, $5,000, yeah, we might be going up to the fifth floor balcony.
You might have a knock on the door and two guys, ironically named Tiny.
Does one of them have the last name Lister?
Yes. One of them has the last name Lister.
Chico, I think this is as appropriate as any. War in the town, the beast is loose.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, that type of Tiny.
Uh-huh.
Oh, God. Oh, man. We're almost getting close to the main event, guys. We're almost getting close to the main event.
Can't wait for those.
Oh, I think we're already sort of at the main event. During the pay-per-view, going into the hotel room with the hookers and two big piles of blow.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, make that one big pile of blow because he just smacked it into a giant snow cloud.
He would swear that there was someone with a bug, you know, in this hotel room.
I've seen the paranoid several times, and that's what's wrong. But just to turn around and look around and say, I think they're outside. I said, who? They said, watching us. I said, who? And he would never tell me who it was.
I don't know who he felt was recording him, whether it be the police, whether it be the hookers, whether it be the pimps. I'm thinking, no one's buying in here. It's the drugs talking. He would go through the furniture and look for microphones.
Is he ripping up the pillows?
Yep.
Yes, he is.
For some reason, he had a fascination with cushions. And if it was a zipper, he'd open them up. He just started ripping through. I mean, he just ripped them out. You know, and when that was ripped out, he'd go to the next one. All the feathers would have been all of them.
And all those feathers.
You know, he wanted everything. That paranoia thing, it concerned me because there was some truth behind some of that. As he would go over to the door and the people, and he would look to the people like this right here. Now you gotta understand, here's this 5 foot tall, little naked Jewish fella with cowboy boots.
Right.
That's a great description.
And he's going, shh. What's wrong? They're coming.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man.
Yeah, they probably come. Herb's problems escalate further when he tries to put one over on the wrong people.
Oh, that'll do it. It's cash, cash only, my friend.
Yeah, Herb.
Oh, no,
this is not going to end well.
And there's the pixelation. Oh.
And he's has his cell phone.
Herb's excessive lifestyle has finally reached its limit, and his activities in wrestling cease. Any comeback for the UWF seems near impossible. Meanwhile,
his old rival Vince McMahon stages one of his most flamboyant events yet. The spectacle of WrestleMania 9.
Oh, God, this was big.
Yeah. Look at Macho.
For Herb, it opens the door to a golden opportunity in the city of second chances.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
The Blackjack Brawl.
Oh, here we go. You wanted this, Greg? You got it.
Oh, yes. I actually think this is like one of the first shows ever at the MGM Grand Arena.
Freaking bike he could get, and he'd take it.
He was spending an enormous amount of money on the talent that he was bringing in for. It was a loaded show with big, big names, and it just seemed like a party.
The night before the show, Herb brings me up to his penthouse suite.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
What's Vic gonna encounter here?
Oh, boy. Those are butt-ass ugly boots.
They match the jacket he's wearing, though. Oh, my
people
God.
Would lose their mind over yellow cowboy boots.
UWF talent discover once again that Herb's reach is leagues beyond his grasp.
The gorgeous arena. That night it was a gorgeous empty arena. It was like sad to wrestle in front
of. And once again, underbooked the arena.
Yep.
He looks like he has a couple ounces in his system right about now.
Oh, yep. Yes. You think?
You think, John?
Let's hear it for the Jews.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah! Yes! The greatest moment from that show. Let's hear it for the Jews.
Oh, boy.
Very strangely, his mannerisms are different.
Yep, he's tweaked.
Yeah.
He was twitching and jumping and such.
He is so tweaked right now.
Oh, yeah, he is so high right now.
So my idol, Jimmy Snuka. And when Jimmy Snuka and I started.
Oh, Jimmy Snuka and Herb Abrams in the same room.
Oh, boy.
It's Herb show. We can do whatever we want.
That's one way of putting it.
Yeah.
Look at all those empty seats. Oh, jeez.
Not clear. He wrote me a check. It bounced.
Shocker.
And, you know, that's gotta hurt. He had the weight of the world on his shoulder.
He looks like a young Larry David in that shoot.
When he came back, he told me how successful it was. I heard the MGM, one day he drew 200 people, and it was a total cluster. And he says, yeah, but I had the MGM.
Yeah, it was a clusterfuck. But it was an MGM clusterfuck.
Okay, by the way, I looked up MGM Grand Arena. Opened December 18th, 1983. So this show was like 9-10 months into the life of the MGM Grand Arena.
Well, yeah, you got to remember the MGM Grand, at least the new one, if you will, the newer one, was a big thing back in the early 90s because the original MGM Grand, there was a fire there back, I believe, about 80, 81-ish.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
So I'm not surprised that this, I mean, the MGM Grand was the place in Vegas back in the early 90s.
Yeah, for big heavyweight title fights. At least until T-Mobile Arena opened up when the Golden Knights entered the NHL.
Yep.
But, oh.
And also, I think I should say this. MGM Grand has one hell of a deli.
It does.
Two of the three of us have been there, and we can state they have one hell of a deli there.
I just can't believe John Arizzi thought, hey, Mick, you know what you should do on the show? You need to wear these yellow cowboy boots that have UWF on it. That the crowd will go nuts.
Oh, and something else they do really well at the MGM Grand, which unfortunately won't exist too much longer. They had one hell of a buffet.
Oh,
their buffet was really good.
I love their buffet.
Their buffet was, especially at breakfast. Oh my gosh. They have these little, I'd almost call them like chocolate cheesecake shooters. They're sort of, well, they weren't alcoholic, but they looked like they're in the size of shot glasses. Oh, I downed about four or five of those after breakfast a couple of years ago at the MGM Grand.
Wow.
Oh, they have the buffet there was just so good. But again, given the times, don't think we're going to be having many buffets there in the future, or at least self-serve buffets. Maybe, you know, they have an attendant there, you know, sort of like Lunch Lady Doris or something.
Oh, it'd be awesome if they had Lunch Lady Doris at a Las Vegas buffet.
Oh, jeez. Okay, Lunch Lady Doris Loik. I mean, she's been deceased now for 25 or so years.
God bless her.
Yeah. We miss you, Doris Crow. Oh, call back to the critic.
Yes. Which you can hear in our archive and at Place to Be Nation Pop.
You're so suave.
Yes. Have to get those plugs in.
You're as good of a promotion whore as Herb Abrams. Well, no, actually, you're better because Herb Abrams couldn't fill the MGM Grand or whatever Podunk Arena they're in Florida.
Oh, I could do a better job than Herb at promoting that show, let me tell you.
Well, also, just really quick before the show comes back on, obviously, it looks like Herb didn't have the same strategies that Vince did in terms of camera work and cleverly arranging the audience if there are holes in the audience by shooting just where there's bunches of people and also moving people to one area to make it look like it's packed.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
And we're back in.
Here in Las Vegas, Herb's dreams of a wrestling triumph may finally be over. The lifestyle took a toll on him. He didn't have the spunk that he had, that electricity, constant spark.
Mr. Electricity was in need of a jumpstart.
I thought he was really cleaning himself up. So I get a phone call from Herb, and he goes, Glenn, big things are happening. I go, Herb, are you sure you're straight? He goes, Glenn, I'm perfectly straight.
On July 17th, 1996, a longtime friend visits Herb at his office in New York City. This is the last known recording of Herb Abrams.
Hey! But his friends are left in the dark as he suddenly disappears.
96, when I was working in the offices with him, sometimes, you know, he'd come in the next day all hungover. Sometimes he wouldn't even come in at all. Sometimes he wouldn't see him for a couple of days or hear from him for a couple of days. So that was just Herb being Herb. I was working at NBC. I get a call from Stacy, my wife, and she says, Lenny, I have some really, really bad news. Sunny Beach called. And Herb's passed away. Herb's dead. But Sonny's crying on the phone. So I call Sonny Beach and I go, what is going on? Nobody knew what happened.
and then his mother called me up, and then it was just like a blur after that. I must have cried for like 2 hours. And it was just the hardest thing to call those men, and then to hear them all start to cry. These super gargantuan, strong men that you saw fly across the ring all crying over her dying. And me not being able to almost talk.
On July 23rd, 1996,
here we go.
Officers respond to an unbelievable scene at the office of Herbie Bruce. Details are sparse, and those closest to her would hear varying accounts of the disturbing events as they unfolded.
It was kind of like how someone would say if they walked into his hotel room and saw him get naked. That's a real shock to some people. Okay. To me, that was part of his process of what he was going through.
Look at that. It's not even shocking to him. Oh, yeah. He did that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Oh boy.
There it is again.
Oh God.
Oh jeez.
Pixelated ass.
No, I'm oh my goshing at being sodomized by police batons.
He showed up. I heard he had massive coronary dying.
Oh.
And what I'm told is that he took his clothes off in the jail and killed him. Nobody knew if he was robbed. Nobody knew if he got hit with a baseball bat. So there was all kinds of stories going around at the time. Oh. Nobody knew the story. Still. That I wasn't there, so you know, you never believe everything you hear. Chasing hookers around, and you know, all greased up, died in the back of a police car. The one thing I know is that Herb Abrams left this world doing what he loved.
I'll say, Steve Breitbauer.
Yeah, he's not wrong there.
He is. Definitely not wrong.
Herb Abrams did die, you know, doing what he loved.
Cocaine and hookers.
Yep.
Which, if you think about it, is a frickin' mouthful.
Oh.
Oh, Chico.
What a way to
Sorry.
Go. He took his clothes off in the jail, too. Oh, my God.
That is a common thread I'm seeing here with Herb is he does enjoy just being naked or wearing just a robe when he's doing things. Jumping off the balcony, in jail.
Yeah.
Oh, and look, it's an ad for Keeps. We were talking about it earlier.
It's like, well, the ultimate irony is there's going to be an ad for Keeps. 5 seconds later, there's going to be an ad for Dollar Shave Club. No.
Yeah, let's get all the advertisers for podcasts, their commercials out of the way.
Yeah.
Boy, they're talking about hair loss and growing back hair. I'd like to do the opposite now. Gee, I need a haircut in the worst way.
Well, there's an underwear company called Tommy John. Man. He is raking in the dough between that.
Oh, and the surgery.
And the surgeries, yeah.
Between the drawers and the surgery, he's a rich man.
Yeah, that's what those 280-plus wins get you.
Mm-hmm. World-renowned for your surgery and world-renowned for your boxers.
Yep. They show off a lot, if you know what I mean.
I'm glad I'm not the only one who thinks that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I wasn't really paying attention at that part. Thank you.
I can't not pay attention to that part.
You know, given what we've seen the last almost hour, I can't really blame you. You almost get used to the sight of naked Herb Abrams with a little bit of pixelation, totally naked with blow and babe oil all over him.
Okay. Right. Oh, here he is with the baseball bat.
Last part.
Overshadowed his already extreme life and reached urban legend status within the wrestling world.
Kind of became folklore.
Everywhere we go, you can get a Herb Abrams story, you know. And some are better than others, some are true, some you don't know what to believe.
When they told me he died, I said,
he's faked his name. He's
left. He's left the country. And I hate to talk ill of the dead, if he's dead. But I had a promotion that was down in Union, South Carolina, that ran under UWF. And this promoter swore to me that the night of his show, this little fella,
what?
Came to the show in blue jeans and cowboy boots and asked him what the name of the organization was. They swore. He said, I'm telling you, he said, that Herb Abrams showed up at my show. And because
he was probably blasted himself.
Gave them the riot act, that he would sue them, and it was as if Herb was legitimately alive. And I said to Marty, Herb's dead.
Herb Abrams couldn't keep quiet for 30 years. Maybe went under witness protection. I don't know. He would find a way to resurface. No, I find it completely unfeasible that Herb Abrams is alive and not seeking the limelight somewhere.
And I know that if he was still alive, he would have come and found me. He would have let me know that he was alive. He would have done everything he could to send a message somehow. He wouldn't have stayed away 30 years. He wouldn't have stayed away 30 years.
We miss you. Wish you were still here with us. You know, it could have been a great day.
And there's a cemetery in West Babylon.
Mm-hmm. Which is like a block away from your house, isn't it?
It's like 40 minutes from my house.
Okay, never mind.
One day I'm going to drive there and I'm going to pay my respects.
We deal, we cope, we go on.
I'll say.
I actually inherited Herb's dog after he passed away.
Cokie. Oh my god!
Of course, Herb's dog is... Cokie.
A snow white dog. Oh my gosh.
Wait a minute, guys. How do we know Herb Abrams wasn't a big fan of the reporter Cokie Roberts from ABC?
How do we know this wasn't his takeoff of Marjorie Goodson's Pokey?
How do we know he just didn't like Pepsi?
Oh, trust me, we know he didn't like Pepsi. He liked Cokie.
Oh,
sad.
I'd say he truly brought life. He brought it out of me. Without their fallen leader, UWF faded out of existence and into the memories of those who fought to bring it to the top. I think Herb should be remembered as a person who tried to do something special in the wrestling industry.
I think Herb Abrams was this bizarre character who wanted to become a major player in the pro wrestling business, and he was never able to succeed as he got his own way from his personal demons to the way he ran his business.
the worst thing that Herb Abrams did, whether you hear about that he was involved with hookers or coke or this or not paying people, the worst thing that Herb Abrams ever did to me was die. It's haunted me for the entire time.
Oh, nice Popeye shirt, Herb.
And yep. This is the only reason that I've ever talked about it. It's the first time I've ever let the secret of the UWF out. And you have it. The best that I could give it to you today.
And that enthusiasm and I think the courage to try to live out his dream. He was such a diehard fan that was his downfall.
He would love the negative that's on the internet. He was loving all. Why is that? Because he was Herb Abrams. He was a thing unto himself.
I have to believe this is the way Herb would want it. You know, like, maybe he got in death what he didn't have in life, and that is he became a legend.
Yes.
Question. If he was alive today, what do you think he'd do?
Time.
Oh, Big Foley, ladies and gentlemen!
Look at him, the Dunkin' milk and cookies. What a way to end it.
That was great.
Yep. That was like the perfect response to that question. What would he be doing? Time.
Yes. Perfect answer. Well, before we wrap this up, final takeaways, thoughts?
Oh, man, what can I say? That was everything I was hoping it would be. Oh, my God.
He was a true character, to say the least. And also, maybe he bit off more than he could chew. Maybe he was a bit delusional. You know, the saying that he owned the MGM Grand and that one arena in Florida when each had barely a few hundred people. But yeah, you can't deny that he was a character.
Yeah, was a character. He was a character. He was a character owner before character owners were a thing in professional wrestling. And I'm guessing a lot of people who are now sort of characters pretty much took a lot from Herb Abrams, how exuberant he is, how over the top he was, how much in love with his own shit he was.
Oh, yes. He really was so he just wanted to be Vince so bad. I mean, yeah. For crying out loud, the UWF cookies.
Well, Greg, you know this better than me. Did the WWF ever have anything like the UWF cookies?
Well, they had the ice cream bars back in the day.
Uh-huh.
See, I had never even heard of those, so... Wow. Okay. Okay, WWF ice cream bars and WWE cookies. Well, I mean, if you look at the WWF, obviously they're bigger to begin with because you had the action figures and those stuffed dolls and whatnot.
Yeah, I actually just watched that episode of Toys That Made Us on Netflix.
Oh my God, the LJN action figures that were that we talked about in the previous show.
I still to this day remember my 12-inch Greg the Hammer Valentine that I won in a USA Network Kids Club contest back in the day.
Ooh.
Oh, that's cool.
Actually, 4 years ago at an independent show out in Hampton Bays, I got like an SD Jones LJN figure for $5. And you're asking, Greg, why the hell did you buy an SD Jones LJN figure? And to which I say, why the hell not?
Because he could.
Because I could.
Exactly.
And also, I hate money.
Okay, well, on that note, we will have a regular episode going up on Thursday, actually in about 24 hours from the time this is uploaded. So this is not the replacement or the second episode for the week. This is like a bonus episode. This isn't in our catalog per se. So, and we'll be doing more of these. We'll be doing some live episodes. We've also been talking about doing smaller versions of episodes, maybe a little 15-minute episodes if we feel we can't get a half an hour or an hour out of the different topics. So we're going to have more shows like this that are going to be a little bit off the beaten path. But for a first effort, I think this worked out really well.
Yes, mm-hmm. I think it did.
And of course, if there's anything we missed, we'll cover this on a future installment if it was a thing on TV. I believe the UWF is actually on the list, isn't it?
Yes, it's coming up in a couple of months. We won't tell you when, but it's coming up very soon.
It's sometime this year. It's in the calendar year 2020. I know that much.
Yeah, because we have a whole bunch of other things to talk about with Blackjack Brawl. Oh, let me tell you, especially one particular subject that I already talked about earlier in the episode.
Well, I think that's all we got, unless anybody has any final words. As always, you know, remember our back catalog, especially for people who are listening to this on the Place to Be Pop Nation feed or Place to Be Nation Pop
Wrestling feed. Yep.
Yeah, please come visit us. It was a thing on TV.com. We'll talk wrestling, but obviously we'll talk about all sorts of other television too. Again, at it was a thing on TV.com. Our entire back catalog's there, links to social media, everything about the show. Also, email. We rarely mention the email, but if you want to get a hold of us by email, contact at itwasathingontv.com. We'd like to hear your feedback. If you have ideas, please send them our way. Even if you just want to say hi, even if you're lonely during these COVID-19 times and just want to say, hey, how you doing? Hey, we're doing fine. Unlike Herb Abrams. Oh, no.
And on that disappointment, we're going to call it a night.
Yeah, I'm going to pour one out to Herbie tonight before I go to bed.
Gosh, when you say I'm going to pour one out, I hope that doesn't mean you're going to pull out the baby oil.
Oh boy.
How do you know I'm not?
With that, thank you for listening. Bye bye.
Good night, everybody.
Oh my gosh. Cocaine and baby oil.
Hookers and blow.